You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. It's October the 31st, 2025. And we want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. Got a couple of ladies in my church. It's their birthday today. Happy birthday to you. And pray that they are having a wonderful day. And we'll be part of a celebration a little bit later today. We're very thankful. Through the years that we've been here, I don't remember exactly how many years we've been offering this. But I'll let you know that if you have been taking advantage or availing yourself of the subscription that we had made available to the folks at Merritt Assembly of God of Right Now Media, that will be expiring today. Today will be the last day. We've had to reallocate some resources and things of that nature. And we just really didn't have that many people who were participating in that. And so if you are watching a series, you might want to binge watch today to avail yourself of that product. That's just a little heads up. But I would like to invite you out to our services. We will be having church Sunday morning. We'll be celebrating communion on Sunday morning. If you would like to come and be a part of what God is doing, we would love to have you come and visit. Pastor Harley is teaching our Sunday school class, and he is primarily focusing on conversations, how to reach various segments of our society. You know, Jesus talked to Nicodemus in one manner. He talked to the woman at the well in a different manner. He spoke to the fisherman in a different manner. He knew how to communicate with the various members of society. And, not everybody that you and I are going to have a conversation with about Jesus is going to be just like the last person or just like the next person. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we need to be prepared. And so that's what our Sunday morning Sunday school class looks like. It's at 9:30, and then our worship service begins at 10:30, because we need to always be ready to give an account of the faith that we have inside of us. 165 North Grove Street is the address of Merritt Assembly of God. We would love to have you come and join us and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have parking out front on Grove Street. We also have parking in the back. We have a parking lot. So if you drive by and you don't see a lot of cars out front, it doesn't mean that there's no one there. It means that there are people who are parked around back. And so what we have trained our people to do for years and years and years is to make sure that there is room for people who may have never been to Merritt Assembly of God before. And so it is a service mindset that we have. We want to make sure. So I have a reserved parking spot at Merritt Assembly of God. It is the farthest parking spot away. It's to make sure that those who can't walk as far as I can make it into the church easier, And it's also to make all that parking available out front. We'd love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. 165 North Grove Street. Hopefully we will see you soon. So today we are looking once again at what some of the dynamics that were going on in the children of Israel, and those dynamics manifest with a withholding of praise from God. And so, like I shared on yesterday's program, if you look at the Psalm 106 and you see things that went on in their life in Israel, and you see those things going on in your life, you want to eliminate those things because you want to praise God. You don't want anything hindering your praise from God. So there's one more list. I talked about verses 34 through 38. Let me read verses 39 through 43 today. It says, thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles. And those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hands. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. The thing that I wanted to focus on in verse number 35 was this, that the people did not value covenant and commitment. They did not understand that God was not just a person that they waved at occasionally as they were at the shopping store, at the grocery store, which they didn't have to the same extent that we do. I've got people that I know that if I see them in the grocery store, our relationship is pretty much a hand wave from a distance because we don't cross paths very much. God, on the other hand, wanted to be the central, most important person in an individual's life, in a family's life, and in the nation of Israel. Everything was supposed to revolve around God and the covenant that he had made with Noah, the covenant he had made with Abraham, and for us as believers, the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. The New Testament is actually the new covenant that we have with Christ Jesus that he talked about at the Last Supper. It was a new covenant in his blood. It's not a relationship of convenience. It's a relationship of commitment. So whenever I do a wedding, that is not just a license so that you can coexist in the same place. You can share the same address and share the same experiences. That's not what marriage is about at all. It's not about sharing your bills and sharing your finances. It's about a shared covenant with shared values and exclusive commitment to one another. That's something that society has been trying to redefine. I believe the pendulum is swinging back the other way. I believe it's swinging back towards more monogamous covenant relationships of commitment. But when you have that, it's something you can praise God for. And, you know, I think that we need to remember to celebrate. Because it says, thus they defiled by their own works and played the harlot. That's the spirit of prostitution there, by their own deeds. And what it says here is that whenever there's actions that take place outside of covenant under God's terms, that what happens is it brings defilement or harm to us. And so defilement says that it's unclean or that we are polluted. There's a movie, I believe it was Back to the Future 3, where the Marty McFly of the 1980s, I think, don't remember exactly when that was, had gone back to like the 1880s, and he encountered some relatives and things like that. And they said, "Would you like some water?" And he said, "Yes." And they hand him a glass of water, and it was water that would have been typical for that time period, but it was not water like the 1980s, where it was clear and you could see right through it. And so once you have seen what uncontaminated, unpolluted water looks like, and then somebody hands you something that's brown instead of see-through and clear, then he said, "You know, I think I'm good for now." And because it was polluted. And there are a lot of people around the world that suffer health complications for no other reason than their water supply is polluted. So sickness and disease spreads through this polluted water supply. And we would look at that and say, well, we need to do something about that. One of the things that the Assemblies of God does missions-wise is that if there is a region that does not have ample water or does not have a clean water supply, our missionaries will go in and at the church, they will build a well that will enable the community to have a healthy water supply. And so that's just the first step. Not the only thing that we do. I mean, the churches are there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But one of the things is we have found that not only does Jesus heal, but a lot of times he gives wisdom so that we're not sick in the first place. Okay? And so if we can keep a person healthy, then we want to do that. Well, these people, because of their lifestyle outside of covenant and commitment, it said they were polluted, they were defiled, and they did harm to themselves. I have a saying that I've used for years and years and years. I don't think I'm the one that came up with it, but my greatest enemy is the enemy enemy. To where the things that I've done to myself. You know, if someone came up and did something harmful to another person on the street, we would be indignant. We would be moving to action. We would want to intervene and we'd want to stop that. But I have found that the one person that we don't necessarily intervene whenever they're doing harm to an individual is when, you know, their actions are harmful to themselves. So I am what is known as a teetotaler. I do not drink alcohol. I'm not condemning people who do. I just don't think that it's something that's beneficial. I've seen relatives of mine whose lives were ruined. I'm not here in condemnation of anybody who drinks. That's not my position. In fact, I've had, when my wife and I were married, we got on the flight the next morning and they found out that we were on our honeymoon, and the flight attendants took up a collection amongst themselves and they bought us a collection of drinks that were available from the airline. They presented us with a little basket. And you know what we did? We said, "Thank you so much. That is so thoughtful. We are so appreciative that you would take the time out and, you know, present us with a gift like that." We didn't tell them we were on our honeymoon so they'd give us something. We were just happy to be married. But when we got to the hotel room, we took all of those things and we poured them right down the toilet. Not because we weren't grateful for their gift, but because there wasn't anything there that we wanted to be part of our lives. I had way too many relatives that were destroyed. Now, what I will tell you is, you know, science, apart from, you know, the biblical discussion, science is saying, hey, that stuff can do you serious harm. I don't want to be part of doing things that are harmful to myself. Lest you think that I'm just going to point my finger at things that other people choose to do. Last year, about this time, my doctor was telling me there was things that were going wrong in my body, and that if I didn't get it corrected, that I was going to end up on a medication. I'm looking to have as few medications in my life. I'm not looking to just go on continuing to do the same old bad thing over and over again and, you know, just take pop a pill to take the side effects away. And so he ran down a list of things, and I said, I don't do that. And he said, "Well, you've obviously got no willpower. And so, you know, if we'll give you 3 months, and if you don't get it corrected, then we're going to have to put you on this medication." And so I accidentally figured out what was causing my problem. And so when I found out what was causing the problem, I realized that there was an imbalance in my life, and I was actually doing harm to my own physiology with the choices that I was making in the foods that I ate. So I made different choices. So it's one thing when you're talking physical. We're talking spiritual harm. We're talking relational harm. We're talking here that there were people whose actions were causing them emotional harm, financial duress. There were all sorts of problems that were going on, and they were problems that they were bringing on by their own choices. A lot of times, whenever we're facing problems, one of the first questions people start asking is, "Why, God? Why me?" And, you know, the Word of God can be a tremendous help for us. Sometimes it's because we live in a fallen world. Sometimes it's like we talked about with Moses on a previous broadcast, where we react badly and end up doing something we shouldn't have done. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. So my son and I were having a conversation years ago, and I said, "You know, as soon as I finish this next program, I'm going to slow down." And my son said this, "Dad, you're lying to yourself." And I try not to lie. I'm not good at it. But the person that I lie to the most is myself. He said, "You have never slowed down, and you probably never will. And after he said that, I said, you know, he's probably right. I do lie to myself. And so the first thing to do whenever you're finding yourself in a hole is stop digging. And so God shared with me a strategy. And, you know, brought some balance into my life. My daughter and her husband are helping me to bring balance into my life, because the years, the months are just flying by and I don't want to miss out. So let's look at the attitude that many people have. Many people have the attitude in the way that they live their life of, I deserve what I want. And so you have people who, because they like it, because they think of it, because of, you know, it fits into their longings, they say, I deserve it and nobody should stop me from doing what I want. And so, we live in a society that is highly motivated by, you know, what they desire. That then leads to another ramification when the consequences of those desires start to come due. I love it when I go to my P.O. box and there's a check. I like that. I hate it when I go to my P.O. box and there's a bill. There's a bill because there's something that I have used in my life and now it's time to pay what's due. So when I deserve what I want meets up with the consequences, a lot of times people will say at that point in time, I don't deserve the consequences of my action. And I will tell you this. It's one of the first sequences of Bible verses that I ever memorized. The first scripture passage that I remember memorizing is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When I went on a missions trip, they said, you need to memorize these verses, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's something that's easy to see. We've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. None of us is perfect. There was only one perfect person and they hung him on a cross. Romans 6:23 was the next one because it talked about the consequences. It says, for the wages of sin that all have done. That's me adding on Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death. Wages are what we do deserve. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And Revelation 3:20, which is a message to the church that had shut Jesus out, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Those are the first, probably the first five Bible verses I ever memorized. When dealing with consequences, a lot of times we want to portray ourselves or view ourselves as not having done anything to contribute to that. And sometimes that is the case. But a lot of times we have done things that we shouldn't have done. Sometimes genetics, you know, sometimes accidents happen. Sometimes bad people do bad things and other people are harmed as a result of that. But I want to tell you this, that God is a God who is merciful, that we can turn to, that we can cry out to. On next week's program on Monday, we're going to talk about how does God respond to all of those things that we've been talking about that damage our perception of God being worthy of praise or prevent us from praising God. And I'm telling you, we got a pretty long list here. I don't know, there's probably 15 or 20 different things that the children of Israel did. And let me just share with you one word from verse number 44 to set the stage for Monday, and that is this: nevertheless. Nevertheless. We've already talked about that once here in Psalm 106 at verse number 8. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake. I will tell you that God is good, and in spite of our failures and our shortcomings and our sin and our rebellion, the Holy Spirit is still in passionate pursuit of the lost to point us to Jesus. Jesus, who paid the price for our sins so that we could be reconciled to the Father, so that we could become like Jesus, so that we could become the person God wants us to become, so that we can spend forever in his presence. That's what God is looking for. No matter how much you and I have missed it, there is still the nevertheless of God, that forgiveness is available. Today is October 31st. One of the things I say is we're kissing October goodbye. There it goes. But today, I want to encourage you, kiss any rebellion or sin in your life. Kiss it goodbye. Don't look back. Don't try and remember it fondly. Just say, you're part of my past, but because of Jesus, I have a future that I'm going to praise God for, and I'm going to praise him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you Sunday at church. If not, we'll see you here Monday on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.